The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $389 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Welcome to another edition of Ice Time, our Buffalo News hockey podcast brought to you by the journalists of the Buffalo News. I am decidedly not Rachel Lindsay. My name is Perrin Keyes. I'm the executive sports editor of the Buffalo News, sitting in for Rachel Lindsay, who is on assignment. I'm joined, of course, by Mike Harrington, who is incidentally also on assignment. I am coming to you live from the Buffalo News headquarters, where it was 44 degrees and raining, pouring on Friday afternoon, less than 24 hours after the Buffalo Sabres took care of the San Jose Sharks. Remaining hot here on the road on their West Coast trip. Mike is now situated in Los Angeles, where it is decidedly not 44 degrees and raining. I'm actually reminded, was thinking today of the story that Wayne Gretzky used to like to tell, excuse me, when he first moved to Los Angeles. It was the story about how he, I can't remember exactly where he was, but he was somewhere like in the Hollywood Hills or something like that, you know, in a gated community, I'm sure. And he liked to tell the story about how, friends would come in from Alberta or, you know, from back home in Brampton or Brantford, Ontario, and would see him. You know, he had some big long driveway that was winding and going up a hill or whatever, and friends would see it from back home and they'd say, man, you're never going to get up that thing in the winter, which, of course, was not going to be a problem in Los Angeles. But, you know, hey, old habits, of course, we don't have to worry. Well, we do have to worry about those things in Western New York if we do have that sort of problem. And it looks for everything, Mike, like we're going to have another problem, which is worrying about playoff tickets and playoff arrangements. This thing just it just keeps on rolling. And, we'll start with that. The first topic we're going to discuss here on the latest edition of Ice Time, one of three or four, is that the Sabres... It just never stops. You tweeted out, I believe, within, again, the last 24 hours or so as we speak on Friday afternoon, in their last 40 games, the Sabres are 32-6-2. It's comical. It's comical. I'll just put it to you like this. What do you make of this?
You keep saying to yourself, Perrin, that when is this going to end? But the fact of the matter is this is a half a season. 32-6-2, 40 games, you know, obviously 41 would be half a season. This is the most wins in a 40-game segment since the 1996 Detroit Red Wings. It's the fourth most wins in a 40-game segment in the history of the league. And what we're seeing here is every aspect of this team going well. Incredible goaltending, depth up front, secondary scoring as well as the star players, an incredible defense, and this team having no fear on the road. Having a road record where you've won 19 out of 22 on the road is just remarkable. And right now, the first two games of their Western road trip, they pitch back-to-back shutouts. Everything is going this team's way right now. They don't think they can lose. They play every game expecting to win, and it's an unbelievable thing to see not only where we've been for the last 14 years, but where we have seen this team this season, where things look dire in October and November and into December, and here we are in March, and right now they are one of five or six teams you can legitimately say can win the Stanley Cup.
So, as other people who have listened to our other fine selection of Buffalo News podcasts may know, I am a non-degenerate degenerate. What I mean by that is I am fascinated by gambling and by sports gambling and the lines and line movement and all that sort of stuff. Just sort of fascinated by what it all means and what we may take from it, what it's supposed to mean. I don't gamble because I just know I'd be on welfare in 10 seconds because I'm not any good at it. But I do love to check in on this stuff. When the season began, futures odds to win the Stanley Cup. Of course, we know that if you actually gamble in the state of New York, you can't gamble on New York teams. But nonetheless, if you were shopping, entertainment purposes only, The Buffalo Sabres odds to win the Stanley Cup were plus 15,000. Now, depending on where you shop, they're anywhere between plus 1,600 and plus 2,000. In other words, if basically to break it down, their odds were 150-1 to win the Stanley Cup at the start of the season. Now they're anywhere from 16-1 to 20-1. That's quite a jump. And speaking of quite a speaking of amazing jumps, I want to walk it back to, for another topic here to jump on. One of many that we could, I mean, we could start and go all the way to next week if we really wanted to talk about just what an amazing season it's been and what amazing leaps they've made. But to go specifically, I want to walk it back all the way to the start of the season. Mike, you and I, and Rachel, of course, and a little bit of Lance Lysowski as well, who was just coming off this beat and, of course, is still very much plugged in. We all sat around and we're discussing our season preview package, what we were going to talk about with these guys as they entered into what felt very much like a make-or-break season for some, and amazingly was wound up make, being a break season for Kevin Adams right on the eve of this spectacular run. But your main column, sort of to start off this season, was, you know, we can talk about upgrading the defense and finding the right guy to pair with Rasmus Dahlin and top six and bottom six and all that. And all that's fine and well, and it was fine and well. But really the bottom line, if you go back to that point in time, was the Sabres were 29th in the NHL last year in goals against.
Upgrade your home with Express Windows, your local source for windows, doors, and siding. Window installation started just $389 with a lifetime warranty on parts and labor. Our streamlined process delivers the fastest installation in just 5 to 7 weeks. From consultation to cleanup, our pros make it easy, affordable, and built to last. Visit ExpressWindowsInc.com to get started today. Express Windows, value, speed, and craftsmanship for every home.
Okay, you know, you want to say some of that maybe it was sloppy defense and all that. All that was fine and good. But a lot of that was goaltending. Most of it was goaltending. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen was not... He did not have a great year. Let's just call it what it was last year. And it was coming in. He was letting in some goals that you could not defend, pardon the pun. And he had just signed that big deal, which at the time, you know, revisionist history can be what it was. But at the time, that deal made all the sense in the world. But it looked like it was shaping up to be a potential disaster. He was getting benched at times last spring in favor of James Reimer. It seems like a long, long time ago. But, you know, then you go you go into camp. I mean, yeah. Camp seems a long time ago. You know, he's got the lower body injury going into camp. Alex Lyon, you know, I'm summarizing this quite a bit and summarizing a little bit too much, but Alex Lyon essentially comes in off the street. You essentially bring in Colton Ellis off the street, and then it turns into this sort of what appears to be a mess that you had on your hands with a three-headed goaltending issue. And then fast forward to March 20th. UPL is brilliant. 2-0 shutout. Clean sheet. And Alex Lyon's brilliant, and he's been brilliant. And in a pickup of – in what appears to be a pickup of the year in what has been, you know, a whole cluster of what seemingly are pickups of the year, Alex Lyon has been brilliant, and the goaltending has been brilliant, and it continues to be that way. Again, I mean, I hate to keep saying this, but what do you make of this?
Well, first of all, is if you are picking the free agent signing of the offseason in the NHL, your choices are basically down to Anthony Mantha, the forward of the Pittsburgh Penguins, or Alex Lyon of the Buffalo Sabres. No other players in free agency have had that kind of impact on their clubs other than those two guys. Alex Lyon, of course, has been impeccable with the Sabres this year. And right now, you look at a situation where his win in San Jose gives him 10 in a row on the road. He's one off the all-time NHL record of 11 straight road wins for a goaltender. And you look at the game in San Jose, you look at it on paper as a 5-0 win. Well, there were 3 10-bell saves in the first 5 minutes of that game to prevent the San Jose Sharks from getting an early lead, from getting their crowd into the game, from regaining some confidence as they were coming off a loss to Edmonton. Alex Lyon stoned Tyler Toffoli, stoned William Eklund, and the Sabres were able to kind of, you know, just persevere through a scoreless first period. And that's what Alex Lyon has done. He has made the key save all year long, early in the game, late in the game, breakaways, what have you. And he is a tremendous influence in that locker room as well. He's 33 years old. He went to a cup final with Florida in 2023 with Sergei Bobrovsky. He had two pretty good years in Detroit. The Sabres signed him out of Detroit in free agency. They didn't make the playoffs. And people certainly thought that Alex Lyon would have impact here, but no one could have imagined this. And what he has done has also impacted Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who has found his game as well, has stayed healthy. And the confidence these two guys are running, they're running on the road right now, both in the last couple months, around 930 on the save percentage line. This team has the best two-headed goalie combination in the league, is either in Long Island or in Buffalo, and this is the best two-headed monster we've seen since Ryan Miller and Marty Brown 20 years ago.
And it's just that much more important. You know, the game has changed. I mean, this just in, the game has changed. Gone, long gone are the days where you're going to try to make it through the playoffs, where you're going to ride one hot goaltender. It's you know, the season, of course, has changed. The regular season has changed, of course, where you're not going to, you know, you're not going to play a number one goalie, you know, ascribe whatever percentage you want to ascribe to it. But, you know, you're not just going to give them a spell here and there. You're going to play two goalies way more often. But you're going to need that second guy in the playoffs. You know, this is not where you're going to ride a Marty Brodeur or Patrick Waugh, whoever it is, way back in the day. You're going to need both these guys. Though. They will. Oh, well, listen, you know, sure. A Hellebuck or whoever. Right. Yeah. Somebody like that.
That's right. They have to do what brought them here. And what brought them here right now is alternating these goalies and playing both of these guys. I would not, you know, fans are already talking about who's going to start in the playoffs. I don't think it matters.
I agree.
They're going to keep it going this way. They're going to alternate through a playoff series unless one of these guys goes belly up a little. I don't think you change what has produced 32-6-2 in a 40-game stretch.
And I would say, you know, not that I'm an expert, but I would say, okay, if you see somebody who stands on his head for two games in a row, okay, maybe you want to ride that hot hand. But what a great thing to have in your back pocket. We've seen some of the Mike, I'm sure you could rattle off 20 names in a row. I can't, not off the top of my head anyway, but you know, some of the best of the best of the best of the best who just, you know, something gets in their head and all of a sudden they lose it, and they lose it at the exact wrong time. I don't want to jinx these guys, but you know, you don't have to worry about that so much if you've got two guys who you've got the utmost confidence in. And I've not been in that dressing room, but I know you have, Mike, and I doubt very seriously that these guys don't have the utmost confidence in both of those goalies.
Absolutely. And I mean, like you say, we saw it even last year with Connor Hellebuck in Winnipeg. All of a sudden, he didn't look like Connor Hellebuck's all-star goalie. He looked like a guy who was fighting the puck. These two guys aren't fighting the puck at all. If one of them gets into a rut, the other one's going in the cage. And that's how it's going to work here. And the coaching staff, players have the utmost confidence in both of these guys. And for the record, they have tremendous confidence in Colton Ellis as well. He won 7 games this year, and he is a tremendous practice goalie and has really helped this club in that area. And he's basically the backup. Keep in mind, when Luukkonen and Lyon are playing, they're not backing up. Colton Ellis is the one on the bench backing up. So it really is an interesting system the Sabres have devised here.
What looked like a mess has now turned into a strength. And speaking of strengths, you've got a veteran who's running the show, who's certainly been around once or twice. Speaking of futures and, you know, odds and things of that nature that I like to take a look at far more probably than I should. I didn't look at futures for Jack Adams at the beginning of the season, but I'll tell you that Jack Adams in the running right now, Lindy Ruff is at the top of the list. He's ahead of John Cooper. Plus 175 for Lindy Ruff. John Cooper, plus 245. And Jared Bednar for the Avalanche, plus 300. What can you say about Colorado, the squad they've got, and the season they've had? I understand they're in the West. The West, as you can shed some light on, and I know you have on X, Twitter, or whatever you want to call it, Mike, that things are a little different on that side of the continent compared to the beast that is the Eastern Conference. But nonetheless, the Avalanche have earned that record, and John Cooper certainly has earned everything that's come his way. But so too has Lindy Ruff, who, again, you know Lindy far, far better than I ever have. I want to take you back to mid-December when it looked like he had a pretty long face, frankly, when Kevin Adams got let go and Jarmo Kekäläinen took a hold of the front office. And juxtapose that to where they are now. They certainly did not give up on their coach. The players did not give up on their coach. And look at what he's done with these guys. You know, there's credit, you know, worth going all the way around the room and all the way up to the front office, including Kevin Adams, which I know is not necessarily a popular thing to say and hasn't been, a popular thing to say around these parts. But a lot of those moves he made, hey, give him credit. Lindy Ruff, though, getting the most out of these guys. What else can you say?
Well, he really felt bad when Kevin Adams got fired. He felt he was largely responsible for that. He didn't get this team playing to a level that would have kept Kevin Adams around. I think a lot of that, though, this club had lost faith in Kevin Adams. The fan base certainly had, and I think they just needed to change the culture of the club and get a feeling that the front office was fully behind them, fully stocked, fully ready to go, which Jarmo Kekäläinen did. Now, Lindy Ruff just put his nose to the grindstone. He believed this team was good. Lindy Ruff believed in September this team was going to be good. Yep. The surprise to Lindy Ruff was what we saw in October and November. I don't think he's that surprised by what we're seeing now. Maybe not to this level, but this is what he thought he had. And the first couple months with the injuries to Norris, with the injuries to Luukkonen, a lot of things went sideways here. There's been a groundswell of support for the Jack Adams, for John Cooper, largely because even though through all the great years he's had, he's never won the thing. So it looked like he was going to be the favorite. And, you know, Colorado has kind of taken a step back here in the second half. But what's happened here in the last 6 weeks or so with Lindy Ruff, you can't ignore anymore. And I'm all for John Cooper, you know, the Career Achievement Award kind of thing, especially if they're going to, you know, battle for the President's Trophy. But what Lindy Ruff has done here is just remarkable. This team is going to break its playoff drought. They may win the Atlantic Division. They might win the Eastern Conference. Right now, it would be hard for the voters to vote for anybody but Lindy Ruff. And just for the record, so people are aware, we do not vote as writers for the Coach of the Year. We vote for several other NHL awards, the Hart, the Selke, the Norris, the Masterton. The writers do not vote for Coach of the Year. Coach of the Year is voted for by the NHL Broadcasters Association. So please save your cards, letters, and emails for me because I am not involved in the Coach of the Year vote. Obviously, if I was, I would vote for Lindy Ruff. And I do think right now, Lindy Ruff is really bordering on a heavy favorite as we head to the last month of the season.
You mentioned John Cooper. You obviously mentioned the Lightning. Do you think there might be some interest in the game on Monday, April 6th, when the Lightning come to town at 7 p.m., given not only given the race and given the playoffs upcoming, but given just, you know, I don't think anybody would argue was certainly the game of the year for the Sabres season, but might have just been the game of the year in the league, plus, you know, all that will be at stake likely when those two teams get it on. Speaking of front office, though, you did mention Jarmo. We'd be remiss. You brought this up, Mike, and I thought it was certainly a worthwhile topic. The front office, as the trade deadline approached, obviously took a big swing in St. Louis, and that wound up turned out to be a bit of a mess. Couldn't get that done. But look, you know, sometimes it's the trade that doesn't happen. It's the moves that don't get made, and the moves that wind up getting made as a consequence, or things that just sort of work out the way they're supposed to work out. You wanted to bring up the way that Sam Carrick has ingratiated himself with the club, certainly made a difference. And Logan Stanley has certainly made his mark within that dressing room and has quickly made himself a fan favorite as well. The numbers speak for themselves, but I'll let you just sort of expand on that and the impact they've had in the dressing room as well.
Well, Sam Carrick has 4 goals for the Sabres in his first 7 games. He had 4 goals in 60 games for the New York Rangers. But they brought him here. They knew he was going to be a good dressing room guy. He played in the Stanley Cup Final with Edmonton 2 years ago. They knew he would help them defensively on that fourth line. They knew he'd be a good face-off guy, which is what they really needed, somebody to win some draws. They didn't expect 4 goals in 7 games. But this guy is playing like he's been here 5 years. And I think it was really impactful the way he contributed in that Tampa game, a big goal in the third period, his first goal with the Sabres, just when they had fallen behind by 2 goals, got them back in the game. The players love his contribution, the roles he's playing, and it's what they needed. They needed more depth on that third and fourth line, a bottom six guy, a guy who can win draws, and he's been a great pickup. Now, Logan Stanley was what I thought they needed most. They needed a big defenseman on that third pair, whether that person was going to play with Michael Kesslering or Zach Metzer. Stanley, 6'7", struggled first couple times out. They had him with Luke Shen. Two who played together in Winnipeg, still trying to figure out the Sabre system. That was a struggle. And you looked at it saying, I'm not thinking that pair needs to be out on the ice anymore. And I think Lindy Ruff and everyone agreed as well. So they made a decision. Zach Metz is their number 5 defenseman on merit. The other teams doesn't score when Zach Metz is on the ice. It hasn't happened since October, Perrin. October for Zach Metz on the ice to give up a goal at 5-on-5. Now, Michael Kesslering has been a scratch. He's not real happy about it, I wouldn't think. But he just hasn't played well enough this year, hasn't been healthy enough. And you got to go with your best guys. So Zach Metz is your number 5. At some point, you might see Kesslering out there. But Logan Stanley, the last couple games, has been quite a bit better than the first couple. He's certainly physical. He can skate. He's been contributing on the penalty kill, which is a big factor because Connor Timmins still isn't back. And those are the kind of moves that Jarmo Kekalainen needed to make at the deadline that he did. Now, he took a big swing, obviously, with Robert Thomas, with Colton Parayko, like you said. Maybe the big swing wasn't what he needed. Did you really want to trade 2 or 3 guys off this roster? It's almost like these guys deserved to make the run and take the shot, you know, and make a big deal like something like that in the summer. But no question, Carrick and Stanley have been what you needed at the trade deadline. Good moves by Jarmo. You know, the man known for the big swing took some smaller swings, but they were important nonetheless.
The Buffalo Sabres just keep right on keeping on. They face what appears to be a softer portion of their schedule here as we get into April. They play the Los Angeles Kings 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday at Crypto.com. They head down the road to Anaheim. On Sunday, they come back on Wednesday for a clash with the Boston Bruins, Red Wings on Friday, Kraken on Saturday, New York Islanders on Tuesday the 31st, and then they will head off to Ottawa to start off their April portion of the schedule to try to finish this thing out. They are a virtual lock for the playoffs. And I'm going to throw it back to you, Mike, and say I know you got to get out of here and dodge a bunch of freeway traffic to make it to the practice, so we'll wrap it up here. But dare I say, in an homage to a team from about 20 years ago, dare I say that these guys are scary good.
We will
be back. We've always made an investment to have somebody on the road to cover the Buffalo Sabres. We will continue to do that. Check out Mike's reports at BuffaloNews.com. Rachel, of course, will be back aboard and back here to watch these guys and cover them down the stretch. Check out everything we've got at BuffaloNews.com. Follow along and subscribe if you have not already. Find us on all our platforms as well. For Mike Harrington, braving the sunshine and freeways and glamour of Los Angeles and Southern California, I am Perrin Keyes. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. We'll be back.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at ExpressWindowsInc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.